Jazz, like baseball, has its heroes. Storyteller Mitch Myers was recently reminded of a night in Newport, Rhode Island, when a saxophone player took the spotlight and stole the show.
I tried calling my good pal Harlan on the phone the other day. I needed some technical help with my computer, and if anyone knows about computers, it's Harlan. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, my friend was nowhere to be found. Instead, I was confronted with Harlan's latest voicemail greeting. "Hi, I'm not home right now," his voice patiently explained. "This is Paul Gonzalez's saxophone solo from Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue. If you've heard this before, you may press pound now and leave me a message." I chuckled to myself as the tenor sax began to blow through the wire and into my ear. Harlan had certainly come up with some crazy greetings in the past, but this one was really too much. You see, Paul Gonzalez played the saxophone solo with Duke Ellington's orchestra at the American Jazz Festival in Newport, Rhode Island, back on July 7th, 1956. While immortal compositions like Mood Indigo, Sophisticated Lady, and Take the A-Train sustained Ellington throughout the 30s and 40s, things had tapered off for the band, and their performance at Newport was intended to be a comeback of sorts. Ellington had even written a new composition, the Newport Jazz Festival Suite, expressly for the occasion. Paul Gonzalez, on the other hand, was a journeyman musician who had played with Count Basie and Dizzy Gillespie before joining up with Ellington and his caravan. His extroverted saxophone style was solid but unremarkable, coming out of the Coleman Hawkins school of tenor players. While not nearly as famous as other tenor stars who had worked with Ellington, like the great Ben Webster, Gonzalez was a seasoned musician who could always be counted on for a quality performance. That night, Ellington's introduction of Diminuendo and Crescendo in Blue was respectfully received by the Newport crowd. The song had been written 19 years earlier, and there was no indication that this performance would be anything out of the ordinary. The piece starts with several minutes of standard-issue Ellington, that is, Duke setting the stage with four jumping choruses on piano before the ensemble rolls in to fortify the main theme. After two more choruses by the Duke, and with a rollicking beat being laid down by bassist Jimmy Wood and drummer Sam Woodyard, Paul Gonzalez finally steps forward to perform his most memorable solo. His segment begins conventionally enough, and any number of tenor players from that era could have played the first few choruses. Traditionally, three or four choruses by even the most notable soloist would be plenty for an Ellington composition, but this would not be the case at Newport. It was somewhere around Gonzalez's sixth steaming chorus that the crowd began to sense something special was occurring. It was during his seventh go-round that a sophisticated lady, a platinum blonde in a black evening dress, jumped up from her box seat and began dancing wildly to the rocking rhythm. Bear in mind that the festival was an elegant event, and the commotion caused by Gonzalez's tour de force had the police security more than just a little concerned. By this time, most of the crowd, 7,000 strong, were on their feet and cheering. 8, 12, 15 muscular choruses, and Gonzalez showed no signs of slowing down. At the very foot of the stage, Joe Jones, former Basie drummer who was appearing at Newport with Teddy Wilson, was pounding out his unbridled enthusiasm with a rolled-up copy of the Christian Science Monitor. Backed by just bass, drums, and an occasional piano fill by the Duke, Gonzalez reared back even harder and played on. Veteran Ellington bandmates like Johnny Hodges, Cat Anderson, and Harry Carney were shouting their own special encouragement as Paul Gonzalez soldiered through a grand total of 27 straight, grooving choruses. Thank you. Needless to say, after almost 7 minutes worth of a saxophone solo that shook the world, the beep indicating it was time to leave Harlan a message brought me back from a most nostalgic reverie. I had completely forgotten what I was calling about, and although I tried valiantly to think of something clever to say, I was stumped. Instead, I sat right down and wrote myself this letter by hand. Yep, my computer may be on the fritz, but jazz lives on forever.
Mitch Myers is a psychologist and a storyteller. He lives in Chicago.